Good morning. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. The Lord proclaims to Jeremiah, "Go down to the palace of the king of Judah and declare this message. Listen to the Lord's word, king of Judah, you who sit on David's throne. You and your attendants and all those who go through these gates. The Lord proclaims, do what is just and right. Rescue the oppressed from the power of the oppressor. Don't exploit or mistreat the refugee, the orphan, and the widow. Don't spill the blood of the innocent in this place. If you obey this command, then through the gates of this palace will come kings who occupy the throne of David, riding on chariots and horses along with their entourage and subjects. But if you ignore these words, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that this palace will become a ruin." Whenever I read the prophets, I often find myself feeling very empathetic for them. You know, they always seem to get this message from God, hey, go to this place and tell these people something they don't want to hear. But I have to tell you this morning, I'm feeling a little bit like that, because today we're going to deal with a really difficult topic. And as I've been processing this topic and sharing bits and pieces with other staff and friends and people in my house, I've been accused of ruining people's day. I've been told I'm just not fun anymore, and I'm probably not going to get invited to parties. I hope you are aware by now of the human trafficking awareness event that we're hosting here later today. The ladies you saw in the video are two of the ladies who have been involved from our UMW in planning. And several months ago, I think September, they asked me to start sitting in on these planning meetings. And so I began to be a lot more exposed to this topic. And then I began to do my own research. So I've been reading articles and watching documentaries, which is probably why I'm not fun anymore. I want you to know I had such good intentions. You see, I thought I could do some research and put together some really precise action steps, and I could share them with you, and we would all leave here feeling good about doing good. Instead, what I have learned is just overwhelming. I don't have an easy formula, and I don't expect any of us to leave here feeling good. But this is an important topic, and Christ followers have to be willing to look at hard topics. So let me tell you some of the things I've learned. It is estimated that worldwide right now, there are 21 million slaves. Even though it is not legal anywhere, there are more slaves in the world today than ever before in history. About a fourth of that 21 million are children. In fact, the average age of a slave in the world today is 12. About 80% of the slaves work in some form of forced manual labor, and about the other 20% are sex slaves. Let me give you some examples of manual labor. About 70% of the world's chocolate is produced from cocoa that is grown in the West African countries along the Ivory Coast in Ghana. Children are kidnapped from their villages or sometimes sold by their parents, who are promised that their children will have good living conditions and an education. They're then driven hours from home The children, both boys and girls, begin their work day about 6 a.m. and they work well into the evening. They use machetes to cut down the cocoa, so you can imagine what the injuries are. At night, they're locked up so they don't escape. If they don't work fast enough or if they try to escape, they're beaten. And they've never eaten chocolate. One documentary interviewed some former slaves who had been rescued, and he asked this group of young men, "What would you say to people who buy the chocolate?" And one of the young men responded, "When they have their treat, they're eating my flesh." There's a mineral called mica that is used in cosmetics and car paint. It gives it a sparkle. Most of the world's mica comes from 500 villages in India. More than 10 years ago, it was discovered that about 20,000 children were working in the mines collecting mica. So the cosmetic industry realized that they couldn't survive without the mica to make the makeup sparkly. And so instead they decided that they would try to make life in the villages better. So they created what they call child-friendly villages. And in these villages, they're building schools, they're making sure that children don't work in the mines, they're strengthening infrastructure, they're providing clean water, midday meals, and toilets. In 10 years, they've converted 100 of the 500 villages to child-friendly. And they estimate that to convert the other 400 villages, it would cost $6 million. Now, in American economy, $6 million is chump change. Last year in this country, we spent $310 million buying Halloween costumes for our pets. Less than 5% of that amount of money would change the lives of 400 communities forever. And it's been 10 years, and this is still happening. Ever wonder where your Christmas decorations come from? There's one city in China that produces 60% of the world's Christmas decorations. The factories are unsafe. Fire exits are blocked. Many people have died when there's a fire in these factories. The air is so bad that workers will go through 10 face masks a day, trying not to breathe the dust. They use child labor. Everybody works a 14-hour day for about 50 cents an hour. And they don't know what Christmas is. When asked, one young man said, "I think maybe it's like a Chinese New Year celebration for foreigners." An economist, has written that Santa Claus is known better to the Chinese people than Jesus. And why is it that these people have to work in these conditions for 50 cents an hour? So we can buy our stuff cheap. In 2016, the United States spent $6 billion buying Christmas decorations. When I read about this, I thought, you know, I think I might be willing to have fewer decorations and pay more, so that people could earn a fair wage and work in a safe environment. It's everything, friends. Children pick the cotton that makes our clothes. People are exploited who sew them together. Little boys are kidnapped and held in cages to peel shrimp. The toys that our kids play with are made by children who don't ever have an opportunity to play. It's all kinds of agriculture. It's everything. And it's tricky. Let me give you an example of the trickiness. There's an American company who was using a factory in China to sew clothes together, and all kinds of violations were discovered in this factory, so the American company pulled out. They hired another company to sew their clothes together, who then hired that factory. The cocoa isn't sold from the slave master directly to the big chocolate companies. It's sold to a middleman and then sold to the chocolate companies. Are you feeling overwhelmed yet? This is why I won't get invited to any more parties. The event we're hosting here today specifically deals with sex trafficking or sex slavery. And unlike the other examples that I've given, the victims of this are worldwide, including the United States, including Indiana, including Hamilton County, including Fishers. Ascent 121, which Linda and Marcia spoke of in the video, is making the presentation today. They are an organization that help victims in Indiana find healing. They offer both outpatient and residential services. In 2016, they served 110 girls in Indiana, and they all came from Marion, Hamilton, Johnson, Madison, and Boone County. They tell us about 70% of these girls have some kind of abuse background, generally at home. And this probably makes them more vulnerable to a predator who starts out being somebody who's really nice to them and really seems to care for them. So as I've researched, I just couldn't find a neat and tidy list of things to offer you today. It just isn't that easy. And I've really come to the conclusion, I'm not sure it's even possible to live in the United States and be completely innocent. As a country and as individuals, we are complicit in the continuation of human slavery in 2017. I remember when I was a kid in school learning about slavery that was supposed to have ended at the Civil War. And as a child, I remember thinking, how could anybody have ever thought this was okay? Well, it wasn't okay, and it's not okay now. And it's overwhelming. There's not an easy just boycott these products list. It's so much more complex than that, because modern slavery happens to the vulnerable, to those in extreme poverty, to those who have already been abused. It is systemic oppression. And when we feel overwhelmed, the temptation is to do nothing, and we become paralyzed. So many times in the last few months as I've been researching, I've thought, oh, I just wish I didn't even know this. It would be so much easier. The problem of slavery isn't an easy fix, but there are things that we can do. For one, you can come to the event today. You can learn more about this organization that we're partnering with. You can learn more about what's happening on a very, very local level. Another thing that you can do. When you go home today, I invite you to go to this website. You can find the link on our app. It's called slaveryfootprint.org. It will ask you just some general lifestyle questions, and at the end of the survey, it will tell you how many slaves work for you. I will confess, my number was 58. something else you can do. This is an app. It's called the Sweat and Toil app. It's produced by the United States Department of Justice, and it lists all the products and the countries that have violations for using child labor or forced labor. The app is very easy to use. You can sort by whatever product, or you can sort by whatever country, or you can sort by whatever offense. But it's an easy way to have the information at hand when you're making purchases. We can raise awareness. You know, some advocacy groups believe that one answer to this is that the end seller is going to have to be responsible for the supply chain all the way down. Maybe you work for a company who sources outside of the United States. Look into it. Or maybe we start asking the stores where we buy our things how much they know about their sourcing. We have the option to make fair trade purchases, especially on non-essential things, so that we know where the sourcing is. We can donate to organizations who rescue slaves. Some of the answer might just be living more simply. You can use the app I just showed you to make informed decisions about your purchases. You know, my dollar might not mean a lot, but our dollars add up. And then I will invite you, if you are a person who for Lent has a discipline of giving something up and or taking on a new practice, I have a suggestion for you. Ascent 121 tells us that the average cost of complex trauma care for one girl is $450 a day. Whatever you give up for Lent, will you bring the money that you would have spent on that and put in this jar each Sunday? And after Easter, we'll give that money to Ascent 121. I wonder how many days we could support one girl in recovery. Just by averages, if every person brought a dollar every Sunday morning, we could support a girl for a week. We won't solve this issue in a 22-minute sermon, but we have to do something. I can only conclude that the wealth of this nation and our ability to buy cheap stuff stands on the backs of the oppressed. And that makes us complicit and oppressors. And I don't say that lightly. It's a really convicting thought. When I think about how God instructed Jeremiah to tell the king to rescue the oppressed and don't exploit the vulnerable, and if you listen to these, things will go well. And if not, the palace will be in ruins. Let's be like Jeremiah and sound the alarm. We're called to do what is right and what is just. It is moments like this that I find myself so very thankful for God's forgiveness and grace.